This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Have we emphasized the joy and peace which comes to us through Jesus Christ so much that we have given a distorted view of the Christian faith? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you will give us a grace to preach the whole counsel of God. There are those parts, O God, that we cling to, for they give us peace and joy, forgiveness. But grant, O God, as we approach the cross in this Lenten season, we may never forget the price that Jesus paid, that we may have that peace which passes all understanding. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Peter. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, my wife and I had a wonderful evening a few weeks ago. We went to hear the high school orchestra, of which our granddaughter is a member, play a beautiful concert, some of the great music of the past. But then as I sat there, I realized what was behind it. When those students got their instrument, and the first day or two, or first week, or maybe even the first year, when they were squeaking away on a violin or doing something else on a cello, or a clarinet, or a flute, remembering the sacrifice that they had to make, some of these kids, for when they would like to be outside playing, they had to be inside practicing. Thinking how mother, perhaps even dad sometimes, would have to say, now look, kids, you got to practice a little bit more. And then, of course, there was the expense of the instrument itself, and then the lessons that had to be paid for. There was a lot behind it. We could enjoy this great experience and say how marvelous. But there was a price on the other side. I'd like to use that as an example today because I think it does apply to some extent to the Christian faith. The 12 disciples that Jesus had chosen were on a 3-year training experience with him. And during that training experience, they had had some great days. They had been inspired. There had been joyous moments. And they could have thought back on that day when they were there in Cana of Galilee. The host and hostess of that wedding were in despair. How they had run out of wine. What were they going to do? And then Jesus changed water into wine. Were they ever happy? They looked at one another and they thought, this man is divine. And he not only can change water into wine, but he can change us, and we begin to see the changes that are happening in our lives. That was a happy experience. Well, they remember the day down in Capernaum when they brought a sick man to Jesus, a paralytic, and they couldn't get him inside because there were too many people there. So they had an idea. Now they cut a hole in the roof, and then they'd lower him down. And those disciples must have stood there and watched them cut the hole in that roof and wonder what in the world is going to happen now. And then suddenly he is lowered down into the very presence of Jesus so that Jesus was impressed with their faith. And he healed the paralytic. That was a great experience. I'm sure that they never forgot it, and they often perhaps talked about it. Or there was a banquet in Matthew's home. Matthew, you recall, one of the 12, was a tax collector. He became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that caused a great deal of stir among some of the Pharisees, the scribes, and the teachers of the law. How could a person like Jesus select a man like Matthew, who had stolen from his people as far as the taxes were concerned, not necessarily meaning that every tax collector was dishonest? But Matthew could have been, or maybe he wasn't. Doesn't matter. Jesus looked at him, and he said, "Come, follow me." And he left his tables and followed Jesus. But a little bit later on, he wanted to have a dinner. So he invited some of his old cronies. Here came the tax collectors, and there was plenty of food, and the doors were open. And some of those old Jewish Pharisees stood outside and looked in, and they said to Jesus' disciples, "How can your master do this? How can he possibly eat with a tax collector? How can he identify with a sinner like that?" But that day, Jesus explained to them that the kingdom of God now had entered into a new era, and it was still for the Jewish people. They were still his chosen ones. But he has also chosen the whole world. And those who are sinners can come too. They didn't have to live under the legalistic application of the law. They did not deny the law. But the gospel was over the law. The gospel could forgive. The gospel could change. And Matthew could be a disciple. They were just simply thrilled. Thrilling experiences. But then we have to ask the question, what is on the other side to make all of this possible? So in our text today, we have read, and let me quote it again, "From then on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Jesus was thinking of what would happen to him, and so it came to pass. There were serious times, no question about it. He would be betrayed by a disciple. He would be denied by another one. He would be arrested by Roman soldiers. He would be tried unjustly. He would be falsely accused. He would be mocked, he would be beaten, and finally, he would be crucified. Nails through his hands, a crown of thorns on his head, and a sword that pierced his soul. That was what was going to happen, and Jesus knew it. And while he did not give all the intimate details at that time, it was still too much for Peter. So Peter caused Jesus to come aside for a little bit. And he said to him, "Never, Lord. That will never happen to you." And Jesus replied sharply to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." At that time, Satan was using Peter to be Jesus' tempter. Jesus had tough days facing him, and he did not need one of his own to talk him out of it. For Jesus knew that if he did not die for Peter and for Peter's sins, Peter would have to die for his own sins. Friends can sometimes bring us temptations when they are trying to protect us from discomfort. Their motives are good, but Satan can use them. Oh, don't take this too seriously in your Christian faith. After all, Peter was evaluating the situation not from God's point of view,
but from a human point of view. And Jesus wanted him to know, behind everything that he offers to a person, he had to pay a tremendous price. Now that's a word for us today, friend, as we find ourselves in the Lenten season. Perhaps some of you, I pray that that is true, are what we call seekers. You're not yet a Christian. You have not committed your life to him. Or maybe you're barely in the kingdom, if that's possible. And you're wondering, is this Christianity enough that I should go all out for it? You're hearing the preacher say from the Word of God, Sunday after Sunday, that Christ Jesus offers you, free of charge, eternal life. And he offers you the abundant life while you're here, that you would like to have. And it's a free gift, free. Don't let me confuse you now. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. You do not contribute anything. But when you become a disciple of Christ and you have put him on, as the apostle says, there is this other side of the Christian faith. There is this other side when there are some very, very difficult times. There is this other side where you and I, out of love, not contributing to our salvation, but because of it, are prone to leave that which we really don't want to leave, but we have to. And so in this text today, for Christians, these are some words that raise some puzzling questions. You notice this? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Now that is not a denial of just giving up dessert or what it might be in the Lenten period. That is really taking something that is very close to our hearts and giving it up for the cause of Christ. A young lady has become engaged to a man who is not a Christian. She knows what the Word of God says concerning this. And she hears Jesus saying, let her deny herself, that man whom she loves so much, because it will never be a Christian home. That's denial. Not just giving up some little insignificant thing that doesn't amount to too much. It's a life of giving up those things which might destroy our relationship with Jesus or our witness for him. And Jesus here in our text today uses a very fine example if we had gone on and read just a little bit further. He presents a tremendous picture. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? That was Judas's problem. He was so into the materialistic end of this, the whole matter of building a kingdom, that when Jesus said there was no part of the materialistic that really entered in, Judas wasn't sure that he had made the right choice. And so, as we're going to see in a week or two in these lessons, that Judas goes out and sells him for 30 pieces of silver. What Jesus is saying to Judas at that time is you've got to deny yourself that intense love for the material, Judas. And Judas didn't catch it. Does that say something to us today? I'm not talking about a person who makes a good salary and or has some fortune in his investments or whatever else it might be. I'm not pounding away at the wealthy now. What Jesus is saying here is that if our wealth gets between him and us. It has to go, or at least that satisfaction in it has to go. For what does it profit a person if he gains a whole world but loses his soul? That's denial. I will give up something, no matter how precious it is to me, if it destroys my relationship with Jesus. In the 9th chapter of Luke, talking about this same incident, but another gospel writer, Luke says, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory." And then I begin to wonder, how many times have I been ashamed of him? Oh, you say, no, it's really not being ashamed, it's something else. It wasn't the proper time to do it, or it wasn't the right thing to say. Those are cover-ups, people. Get right down to the brass tacks, ashamed. Why does a father not say to his son or daughter, "Let me tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me"? And millions of fathers have never let words like that cross their lips, and they claim to be Christian. Part of it is ashamed. Ashamed. What about it when somebody tells us in our everyday life to do something that we know is completely contrary to the Word of God? And we kind of walk along, ashamed to be different. And Jesus says to this, "You're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you someday." Those are hard words. But that's the other side of the Christian faith, see, friend? That's what we meditate upon when we think of the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, whether it's during Lent or any other time of the year. He says, "Take up your cross and follow me." The Romans' use of the cross was very free. They certainly had capital punishment. If somebody did something wrong and could be halfway convicted of it in their system of judging people, they went to the cross. And there are many people who have died for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they're still doing it today, we are told. That they loved the Lord Jesus so much, he had captured their lives so much, that if that were necessary, then so be it. Perhaps more of our suffering today comes in the term of emotions, emotionally suffering for the cause of Christ, whatever else it might be, not being accepted. A sinful world does not accept Christianity with open arms today. Never has and never will. It's not what the Christian world really can expect to be received by the secular world. And so you see, friend, there's the other side of Christianity. There is no question that to be a Christian is a glorious experience. But that does not mean that there are no hard times. We need to emphasize, certainly, the joy and the peace and the forgiveness that can come. But we need to emphasize also that it was not a gift without a price. That price, it was paid by Jesus at the cross. And when he is ours, then we're anxious to pay a price too, to be his faithful followers. Amen.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, help us to understand the other side of our Christian faith, what it cost Jesus to offer us forgiveness and life eternal. For it is in His holy name that we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders currently broadcasts on 17 radio stations across the United States, on the World Wide Web, and on shortwave radio access to North America and Europe. Please consider, if you're in a position to do so, sending a gift to help cover production and broadcast costs of these stations. In this way, you become a partner in providing a Sunday worship service to those who need to hear the gospel message. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Today's service is also available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Copies of today's program are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 70 years of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.